for the play or something that's used for the play. 2 Corinthians chapter something. Chapter number something. 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9. Okay, starting in verse 6 and following is one of the great conditional promises. Basically meaning if you fulfill the first part, then God will be obligated to fulfill the second. And it's not promising that if you give somebody your seed faith vow, he's going to give you $1,000 back. It's promising that if you are giving, he will give you grace. He will give you grace. Verse 8. Okay, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now the sentence of that goes down to verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Okay, there's that phrase. If we go back and look in verse 9 and 10 in the parentheses, he's quoting an Old Testament passage. Basically, what he's saying here is that when you give to others in need, God recognizes that as a loan to him, and then he's going to pay back. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this, to help us recognize that obviously this time of year, Thanksgiving, obviously he's going to say something about that, as the Bible does. And it is obviously something very important in our lives to have contentment and to appreciate and enjoy the things that you have given us. And the knowledge that you've given, I pray that you'd help us to be people that are grateful, that express thanksgiving toward thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now in verse 9 is an interesting thought. Under the Old Testament covenant, when somebody dispersed to the poor, it says his righteousness remaineth forever. That means that it was placed on his account, and that was something that is forever given back to that person in eternity. Okay, basically from 6 down to 12 here, a conditional, great conditional promise in the New Testament that if you're giving towards others in need, then God promises not that he's going to give you back money per se, but he promises that he will give you all grace aboundeth towards you in every situation. In that context, the definition for grace is the ability to put up with anyone or anything with peace in your hearts, where you're not letting anybody ruin your day. Okay, that's the idea. Now, obviously, in the context, too, that it's given to somebody in need, a lot of people will sit there and watch the television, they'll see some poor sick kid in some foreign country, and then they'll get their credit card out and send the money to this clown or whoever is trying to get this idea across. And you, first off, don't know if the kid is really sick. You don't know who's going to give them the money. You don't know if they're going to keep the money. You have not really a clue. The safest program in giving to other folks is doing it one-on-one or locally, helping somebody that you know. That's the safest route. You're not helping anybody out who's a constant beggar, okay, and helping them overcome their whatever their issue is. You're not doing them a benefit. We get calls all the time, and I just can't imagine the audacity of people to call a church they've never even darkened the door and say, "I would you help me with my utility bill?" We get that a lot. And I'm thinking, first off, you call us, I just say no, and that's it. Now, if it's somebody sitting in here, somebody having a tough time, don't be ashamed to come to us and ask for help, because we'll do what we can. Now, if we kind of know that maybe you got yourself in that situation, we might have to consider it, okay, but, or it might be individual. As far as the church body, the money of the church, I don't give that out to anybody. I don't have a right to. I don't have that right. If somebody calls up and asks for money and I feel led to give them something, it's not going to be the money from this church, it's going to be mine. Which I don't feel led to do that too much. Not on the phone. In person, that's different. It's a whole different thing. I remember years ago, I was down at the truck stop and this one guy was begging for $20 to get back down to Tennessee, begging. Brent was with me. And I just find, okay, I'll give him $20. And then when we left, he said, "Man, I'm going to take off as soon as I get this." I got in the car and I said, "Brent, what do you think?" He said, "Guy's a liar." He said, "Dad, I think you're going to, I don't think he's telling the truth." I said, "Okay, well, we'll see how it works out." And this guy told me that after I gave him the money, he's going to take off for Tennessee. That day, he was really anxious to get back down. The next Saturday, I was in the same truck stop, and I saw that rascal. And we kind of saw each other, and I saw him, but I could tell that he didn't know that I saw him. And boy, he hightailed it out of there. And I just said to Brian, I said, "Yeah, you are right." $20 down the tubes. But, you know, in the Lord's mind, maybe not so. Okay, you don't know? Okay, now, this idea of, obviously, Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, and of course, we've all noticed, I've said this about every year, that the world tries to skip from Halloween to Christmas. They try to overlook Thanksgiving Day. And the reason why that is true is because atheists truly cannot celebrate Thanksgiving Day. They can't. Who are they going to express thanks to? In chapter 9, verse 11, the last three words, thanksgiving to God. Chapter 9, verse 12, the last three words, thanksgivings unto God. The idea of Thanksgiving Day, it is understood on Thanksgiving Day that the gratitude is expressed to God. That's why an atheist can't do it. An evolutionist can't do it. Now to them it's just another holiday. It's just another day off. But the evolutionist does not get up that day and say, "Thank you amoeba for this. Thank you sun for exploding and then slowly melting and becoming Earth atmosphere." I mean, who are they going to express gratitude to? They have none. They can't express gratitude. A Buddhist cannot, communist, a deist, a humanist. A humanist. Who are they going to express gratitude on Thanksgiving? A pantheist? A tree? Wiccans? What? To Satan? To witch? Now, Thanksgiving Day in the Bible is similar to the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is a gratitude to God for His multiple blessings. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning, obviously, about Thanksgiving Day. And the first thing is the born-again believer in Jesus Christ should abound in thanksgiving. Even if the day you got saved, if God dumped you and threw you in the ditch and left you there to slowly suffer and die, He still would have shown grace to you and I. But we know He didn't do that. I mean, we have eternal life found in Jesus Christ. We have salvation. We have the guilt of sin relieved. And in the New Testament, we have a gratitude of security in Christ, being born again, where we have eternal security in Jesus Christ. We can thank God for that. But you see, after Jesus Christ healed the 10 lepers, is it not so true? Only one came back and said thank you. Only one did. And so we see that's the problem with human nature. Unfortunately, the church, believers today, have fallen in the same rut that Israel fell in. It is a cycle of life, and they run this cycle of life, and it's a vicious cycle that Israel ran through, and the Americans are doing the same thing. We learn from history that men seldom learn from history. If you would look in Psalm 107, I've gone through this before, Psalm 107. This is nothing new under the sun. Psalm 107, if you look at that psalm, several verses, it gives the history of Israel, and actually it shows a cycle that Israel lived through. If you look at Psalm 107, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and 31, they are identical verses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Identical verses, punctuation, everything. 8, 15, 21, 31. If you go about two or possibly three verses prior to each one of those, you'll see similar verses that have this phrase. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. You'll see that repeated 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. 19, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And in verse 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. What's the trouble? Why is it constant over and over? Well, there's a cycle that would go through. If you look at the book of Judges, you got the seventh book in the Bible, it reveals this cycle where basically it goes like this. The children of Israel got right with God, or saved per se, if you want to call it that. As a body of people, they were right with God. They were obeying the Bible. And because of that, that brought them to step two. They received the blessings of God. Now, under the Old Testament covenant, they could expect financial or material blessings as a result of being right with God. In the New Testament, that's a different program. We can expect spiritual blessings of God, as in grace. The next step, if the blessing continued to pour out, the next step would be prosperity. And that's where Israel is at. Deuteronomy chapter 8, they were prosperous as a nation. And in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord said three times, and your prosperity, he says, don't forget me. He said that three times. Why? Because of all the distractions we have in our country, it's easy to forget God. It's easy to do that. Okay, now there is a turning point right there where they have the multiple blessings. If at that point they became ungrateful for what they have, they took it for granted, they forgot God, the next step would be then they would start digressing down into covetousness because they were dissatisfied with God. They began coveting things, and because of the covetousness, that would lead them to financial slavery, and in Judges, actual slavery from another nation, and that would cause them to panic, become desperate. Then they cry out to the Lord. Notice in those four verses, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. That's when they cried out to the Lord. And so what did the Lord do? He would send a prophet or a judge in that time period, and they would basically come to the people, you need to get right with God. And then they'd get right with God, and they're at the top again. Bible, blessings, prosperity, ungratefulness, covetousness, slavery, cry out to God, prophet, Bible. It's a constant cycle. And in Psalm 107, you have it four times. You'll see it in the book of Judges multiple times. Where's America? Covetousness, slavery. Financial bondage. That's where America's at. Are they going to cry out to God? I'm not holding my breath. Back in the Great Depression, they did. But today, Americans don't even know if there is a God. Or they don't know if God's a male or female. They have not a clue. And where's the church at? The church is in the same place. And this idea of gratitude. Gratitude toward the Lord. Thanksgiving. If you would look at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 is the famous passage that goes down digression as far as the nation goes. When you look at Romans 1, you can see it's gone way down where they do not want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't even like to hear the word God. At the last Democratic National Convention, they didn't even want to hear the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. They would go crazy. And then in Romans 1, verse 26, 27, you can see that sodomy, the sin of sodomy, as far as that goes, what is the first step down this road? In verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So the first step is they did not give glory to God. And then it says, neither were thankful. They were not thankful to that God. And so there's the first step. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that when a man has lost his gratitude, he is well nigh hopeless. Down this road, this sinful road of toward sodomy, where our nation, the news media, and the government is going to cram this right down the throat of the Americans. Contrary to what you feel about it. You don't have a choice in the matter. And the reason why is they're not expressing gratitude toward God. A born-again believer in Jesus Christ should abound in thanksgiving. The second thought is this: ingratitude reveals a proud and selfish heart. That's what it reveals. Give me, give me, give me, give me. That's our generation. I got my Obama phone. Give me this. Give me that. Give me health care. I have a right for health care. You got a right to die, pal. You know, and it's always constantly give me, give me, give me. The higher the standard of living that people live in, the higher the standard, actually the more discontented they become. The higher the standard. In 1991, around that range, I took my first trip overseas. I went to the little country of Romania. Romania has been under communism for years and years and years. And I went there, and there was a little church there of about 80 people. You can take one of our sections, and that was about the size of the building. And they had 80 people there, and of those 80 people, they were crammed in that little building. They had three cars, three families came in cars. Everybody else walked. Poor as could be. The pastor's car was this little dumpy little yellow car that when he popped the hood, he had his tools right there because he knew he was going to have to be using them. And for the first 5 or 6 days, I had to push it to get the thing started. But I noticed something about those Christians that I did not notice about Americans, is that they were grateful. They had a contentment about them that American Christianity did not have. Why? Because they've been suffering. Their standard of living was way down here, and anything you offered them, they were totally grateful for it. Where Americans, the standard of living's up here, and people want more and more and more. They gripe about this, they gripe and complain about this, and gripe about that. Oh, they're not doing enough for me. And that's because people have a selfish heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 is not a very favorite verse for Americans, where it says, having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. You know, if I was a Greekifier, I would definitely go to the Greek on that one and change that totally. Because that's what it says. Americans complain for a lack of luxuries rather than necessities. The prosperity in our country has given us multiple distractions. With internet and television, This offers perversion in the privacy of your home. It used to be where, you know, all that stuff was the smut stuff was at some smutty place in the area, and the dark section of the lights are all turned on in this smutty building, and now it's right in your home. And the end result of this is a perverse people. What precedes the sin of sodomy, that we understand the sin of sodomy, is in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, it says, "These are the sins of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, and they refuse to help out the poor and needy." That's the four sins of Sodom prior to the sexual perversion. And that's where America's at. Ungrateful, totally ungrateful. And so a person has to learn to become content. It is a trait that you can learn. So Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, while he's sitting in jail, in a Roman jail, he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." It's contentment versus complaining or griping. That's basically the two choices. And aren't we glad that God does not execute the punishment on murmuring like he did to the Jews in the Old Testament? 24,000 people died for griping to Moses. 23,000 people died in one day. Probably the only one happy that day was the Jewish mortician, or multiples of them. The casket maker. I mean, that's about the only ones happy those days. Okay, but 24,000 people the Lord took out because of murmuring and complaining. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 reveals that a heart of gratitude will give you the byproduct of inner peace. Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Lord gives an inner peace when we accept our lot in life and are appreciative of what God has given us, and we are grateful for it. Now, the more you know about this country, and you can see that this country is definitely going down. I mean, it's in a mess. A person can criticize this country to the point where you get to the point of hating this country, which the idea is that if you look at the country going down, you could also go to the Bible and recognize that these are signs that we are getting closer and closer to Christ's coming. Yeah, we are to resist evil. Yes, we are to stand up for our loss of liberties, but it still beats China. My sister Joanne went to China. Her and Steve went to China and visited my sister Janet. And I don't know how long they were there, a couple weeks or so. And when Joanne got home, she said the first thing she did was she walked up to the house, she kissed the front step. Oh, it's so nice to be home. Why? Because we complain about traffic jams here. They walk there. And they cram them into a bus. When a bus dies on them, as it will, they all get out and push the bus. Or they go over the side of the cliff, and that's one way of controlling the population in China. I was amazed in Vietnam what they could get on a moped. I mean, on a moped or a small motorcycle, a very small motorcycle, I'd see the whole family on the thing. Dad, two kids stuck in the middle, mom in the back. I'd see some of them with a trailer, pulling a trailer on a moped with a water buffalo in it. It was a small water buffalo, but he was still doing it. I was amazed with what they got on there. Guy carrying a refrigerator, it was a small refrigerator, but he had it on there. Amazing what those people do in that culture. Why? Because they don't have what we have. They definitely know how to lay on the horn. They have a different idea of laying on a horn. In our culture, laying on a horn is an insult. People get mad. There, it's like, watch out, here I come, get out of my way. And it is nothing but laying on the horn all the time. And staying on your side of the road, oh, that's a dumb idea. They hate that idea. The only time they stop at a stoplight, they know there's a cop in the corner. And what they do is they take care of the ticket right on the corner. They just pay the guy off right there in the spot. A car accident. When you have a car accident or any accident there, it's not who's at fault, it's who yells the loudest. There in that culture, whoever yells the loudest and the other one cowers down, that's the one at fault, no matter what happens. And it's just different cultures. But I was amazed with the Christians in Vietnam, the poverty they had and the joy they had. I was amazed at the griper that was on the one trip we had. We took this canoe that's a tall, a real skinny thing, and we had like 10 people in this long canoe. And I thought it was kind of funny, this communist woman, a very heavy-set lady, with very few heavy-set folks in Vietnam, she was kind of rocking the boat, and the Vietnam pastor told her to sit on your big horse. And boy, when she sat down immediately. And the only reason I knew what she said is because Mike had interpreted for me. But there was one communist man that went with us on these trips, and I could see the look on his face that he despised everything that was going on. And come to find out, he was griping because these little orphan kids had a nicer house than he had. He didn't consider that these two or three orphan kids are like this one little orphan girl where she walked up to you crawling on all fours because her back was broken when she was smaller. And so that's how she had to maneuver from all four, just like an animal. But they had a contentment about them. They had a joy about them. And so gratitude gives an inner peace. What about when things aren't going well for us? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." If you would look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Now, if you remember your Bible doctrine, as far as the doctrine of Hebrews, Hebrews is a doctrinal book written to Jewish people living during a time period called the last days. The word last days are found 8 times in the Bible. And in every occurrence, the words last days are referring to the Great Tribulation time period. It is closing out the last days where the devil and man is running government systems and Jesus Christ is going to take over and start a 1,000-year reign. So that's why it's called that. And so you'll find in Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 2, it's written to somebody in the last days. And what he tells the Jewish people, what are they going to endure? This is where Bible doctrine really makes the Bible seem more powerful. Here's what he tells them. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, he says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now you would say, well, I can offer a sacrifice of praise where I get a good job, get a raise, things go good, I'm feeling healthy. No, that's not what this sacrifice of praise is. This is a time where it's a sacrifice to praise God. It is hard to praise God. He is telling Jewish people here, people who will be living during a time period that they will have to run for their lives at all times, if they get caught, they will be probably sacrificed in a religious ceremony. They will probably be eaten. Their blood will be drank. If not, they will be thrown into jail. Everything that they own will be taken from them. Their kids will probably be slaughtered in front of them. And he says to them, if you can praise God during this time, God will accept this as a sacrifice. Better than an offer of a lamb. Better than an offer of a turtle dove. It'll be a sacrifice of praise. This is what Jonah did when he was in the belly of the whale after he died for 3 days and 3 nights, and God gave him put his soul back in his body, inside the whale's body, and it says that he offered a sacrifice of praise. Now, if that is true, what I just said as far as the context, we should have some verification of this. The next letter, it should be across the page if you have a good reference Bible. It is across the page. And in James chapter 1, he says this, James, a servant of God, of Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And he says to them, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He reinforces that idea. Now, if he says that to them, who are we? Who are we in our culture? We ought to be giving thanks to God at all times. And expressing that gratitude towards other people. Saying thank you to people. Expressing gratitude. Americans have come to the point where they expect it. And therefore they have lost their gratitude. You see, a grateful people are a happy people. They're a joyous people. They have an inner joy about them because they enjoy what God has given them. If you would, look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, come Thursday afternoon, maybe when you're tired, and that's the day where gluttony is okay. And maybe if you're watching Detroit or Dallas, at halftime, they're going to show you some pictures about helping the homeless. And what are they doing that for? To make you feel guilty for having the blessings of God. Now, the rich liberals, they're not going to help the homeless. They want you to do that for them. No, if the Lord has given you blessings, the Lord wants you and I to enjoy them. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy what God has given you. But then turn around and thank Him for it also. And then it says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Gratitude leads to an inner peace. It leads to a joy. It gives a joy. It gives an inner peace to thank the Lord for what He's given to us, be it possessions, be it knowledge. Thank God for this blessed book. I mean, how many of these Bibles we all have in our houses? And people in other cultures would love to hold a Bible. They would love to see a Bible. And here we got all different kinds. All different Bibles we have in our homes, and there it sits. And it's the God of that Bible that has given us this knowledge. Contentment is a learned trait. And when we learn that trait, then we have a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to recognize the blessings that you have given and help us to be grateful for the blessings you have given. Help us to enjoy what you've given us, but yet also help us to recognize that we can give out to others who are in need. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to appreciate what you have entrusted us with and help us to use it for your glory, for your benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, grab your hymnal, and I'd like to sing 221. And just express your gratitude to the Lord. 221. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy. mercy sure and sweet. For his grace in prayer I would repeat. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Some thank him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know he's mine. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me. I trust in him from day to day. I prove his saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to him until I see.